Okay, we are recording now. Okay, today we want to talk about something very important that all of you face, one of the challenges that you face every single day. The theme of insight today, I think, fits in because you need the insight into this very important subject that's covered far more often in the scriptures than you might realize. Now, let's begin today. I want someone to turn, or all of us turn over to Psalm 101 and verse 3. Psalm 101 and verse 3. This is a psalm we want to key off of today, or this verse, as we discuss some of these issues. I want everybody to feel free to discuss how they face some of these situations and some of the challenges that our society throws at us every day, that we have to have the insight and the wisdom to perceive how to handle them. So who'd like to read Psalm 101 and verse 3 for me? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not come to me.
Okay, the verse says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I think some other translations have no vain or no worthless thing. But your eyes are the door to your soul. What comes into your eyes affects the way you think. It has an impression on your mind, on your soul, the way you believe, and comes out in further actions. I want to tell you a story to begin with. Last week we got a phone call, and my wife called our niece. And she has two very nice little boys who are 5 and 3 years old. And we went back to visit with them this last spring. And they're really nice little kids. They seem just about as pleasant and friendly as you could be, real sweet-natured. And they went to church with us with their little suits on. We took them out to dinner. And she heard one of them screaming, and she went into the living room and found the 5-year-old boy down on the floor choking his 3-year-old brother. And, of course, the mother got very upset about that, sent him to their room, and everybody was crying. And she asked the 5-year-old boy, whose name was Zachary, she says, why were you doing that? He said, well, I just saw it on a movie the other night when I was watching with my dad, and I thought I'd act it out. So what you see coming into your mind, whether it's on a movie or other things, can have an effect on the way you act and the way that you think. So what are some examples of wicked things that we have to be careful that we don't set before our eyes? I'm sure you guys have got a lot of experience with some of this. Any ideas? Luke? Right, entertainment. The entertainment industry is full of wicked things. Now, what is most entertainment? What are you watching people do?
Killing.
Yeah, killing. Okay, breaking the sixth commandment. What other commandments are they breaking on movies and calling it entertainment? Go ahead, Jeremy.
Having sex in movies.
Okay, the seventh commandment, if you commit adultery. What other ones? Go ahead.
Lying.
Okay, taking God's name in vain is very frequent. And the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Much of what's in movies, people are coveting something that belongs to somebody else. It's a movie about stealing or a movie about, mass murders or some crazy thing that's in there. So we need to realize that the entertainment industry is entirely, almost to a person, not entirely, maybe I should say more like 99%, comprised of people who are godless. They have no concept of any God or any Bible or any supernatural force in their life. They're accountable only to themselves. And so since they believe in nothing but themselves, then they believe they can put whatever out there, and as long as they've got somebody buying it, attending their movies or buying their things on television, their programs, then the end justifies the means. The money in their pocket's all that matters. I've heard of some new television shows that have come out, series, something about Secret Life of an American Teenager. Anyone ever hear of that one? I haven't heard anything good about it. Of course, I don't watch that type of thing anyway. I kind of limit my TV to an occasional news and maybe the Discovery Channel and the Knife Show, and I take the Hunting Channel so I can watch guys as they pursue wild turkeys and deer. Maybe I can learn some pointers here and there. So I'm just not much. I don't watch American Idol. I don't watch Oprah. I don't watch, none of that stuff interests me. It never has interested me. But I know that the kids at school, I know a lot of them probably are American Idol fanatics. You find that at school, that all they talk about the next day is who sang how bad and how good and other things. Okay, what about wicked things set before your eyes, just in the sense of the people at school, the people that you go to school with and have contact with? Are there any examples of that you can think of? Yes.
Cheating?
That's a good one. We didn't think of that one yesterday, so you guys are one up on B4. That was not on their list. So what others can you think of? Luke? Did you have your hand up? He's moving. Okay, go ahead.
Swearing,
bad language? Yes, go ahead.
Fighting?
Okay. Have any other ideas?
Disrespect.
Okay, disrespect, the way they treat each other. That's very true. We've lost the sense of decorum and respect as to how people treat each other. So what was that?
Lying.
Disrespect for authority.
Disrespect for authority? Okay, that's a good one. They probably say things about their teachers or whatever it might be. So there are a lot of things that are out there that Satan is throwing at you every day. And if those images come into your mind, you have to have the perception and the wisdom to turn them away. Now, let's go over to Psalm chapter 26 and verse 4. You'll be surprised at how many verses there are about this subject, to protect what comes into your eyes, and that you have to have a filter and tell yourself, I am not going to let those images come into my mind. Okay, who'd like to read Psalm 26, verses 4 to 5 for me? Okay, go ahead.
I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in the pit. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked.
Okay, the assembly of evildoers is where wicked people gather. And that, I think, is something we've all seen, whether it's in groups of you know, at school. When you're older, it's groups of adults. It doesn't change when you get older. When you work out in the workplace, you still find people who, you know, they tell dirty jokes all the time, the language is bad, and you will learn the people that you are comfortable being around, the ones you are not, just like you're currently doing at school. The challenge here, he says, is obviously he has to hate the assembly of the evildoers. He doesn't go in with the hypocrites. He doesn't sort of try to go as close to the line as possible without crossing it. Now, the Bible doesn't say draw close to evil and see how close you can come before you finally cross the line. Now, the Bible says flee, you know, run the other direction and stay completely away. One of the biggest, I think, plagues on our country today is internet pornography. And I'm not telling you something you guys have not been exposed to. When Mr. David Gothels, who is a teacher at the largest high school in Washington State at Auburn Riverside, they had a problem with a drug deal that went down, and the kids were using their cell phones or something to text about where to get their drugs. So the police came in and confiscated 200 cell phones this last year of 14-year-olds. These were ninth graders, 14-year-olds, eighth and ninth graders. And he said that 80% of them had hardcore pornography on their cell phones, you know, pictures, either that they got off the internet or that somebody had emailed to them. So if it's that serious, if it's that many people who are doing it, you need to be very, very careful that those things, those images, are not shot into your mind, because they will burn like a hot iron. And if they want to look at it for a little while, then I'll turn away. You're making a huge mistake. Pornography is just like cocaine. It is addictive and it is progressive. With cocaine, you have to get a higher dose each time. It's addictive. You want more and more. And each time you say, I'll do one more dose and then quit. But the cocaine addicts I've known and those that I've read their stories of, it's addictive and progressive. They simply can't quit, and every time they have to have a higher and higher dose. And the same thing is true with pornography. It is a drug very much like cocaine in the way it affects your mind. So don't think you can toy with it. It's an extremely serious problem that we have to deal with occasionally with even adult men in the church. It's caused a couple divorces that I know of in the past few years. So, you know, make sure that you are going to make, you know, steel your mind that that type of thing is not going to be a part of your life. Now let's go over to Psalm 18 and verse 20. Okay, who can read that for me? Let's kind of go ahead.
The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me.
Okay, go ahead and read verse 21 through 23.
For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity.
Okay, so what David said here is that he put God's judgments before him. He constantly had the laws of God on his mind. He constantly had, he reminded himself to fill his mind with good things, so that when those bad temptations were there, he could turn away from them. And I really like what he says in Psalm 119, verse 37. Now, this is something we all need to memorize and make it a part of our life, Psalm 119 and verse 37. It tells us essentially how to do this. David sometimes is very specific in the Psalms, telling us how he dealt with situations, how he dealt with not only King Saul's persecution, how he dealt with Doeg and with some of the other people that were after him. So Psalm 119 and verse 37, who has that? Well, go ahead. Can you get that one? Go ahead.
Yeah. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me unto thy way.
Okay, so he says, turn away my eyes. Now, you're going to have to learn to do this, guys. I'll just tell you, because, you know, I'm a man too, and I was your age once, and as I got older, it's not something that goes away. But when the girls come around, and they've got these low-cut dresses on, and then there's all sorts of improperly clad images all around. It wasn't that way when I was your age. I mean, if we saw a girl in a bikini, man, that was something exciting. We had to talk about it for a week. Now, I mean, now it's, I mean, give you an example. I don't know if you've seen the James Bond movie Dr. No, where Ursula Andress comes up out of the water. She's got this seashell in her hand, and James Bond's on the beach. And that was a very modest swimsuit compared to what they wear today. But it was, I mean, it was the most shocking thing Hollywood had put out at that time. And now, I mean, it would be, you know, something you would see walking down the street or in Walmart, maybe. So you guys are going to have to learn to turn away your eyes. You know, when you look at a girl, where do you look? You look at her eyes. Okay, you understand that? You look at her eyes. You don't go wandering all around everywhere else. If you have those temptations, just train yourself. You know, keep telling yourself, look at her eyes, look at her eyes. And if girls are, if you know girls are dressed improperly, go somewhere else. Just don't give them the attention that they're wanting. Sometimes girls do that because they feel inadequate. They want attention from guys. They want to know if these newfound feminine wiles they have are going to be, you know, giving them the attention they want to get. And unfortunately, I'll tell you, when I was in high school, girls had to wear dresses. They were not allowed to wear pants. Imagine that. And they did wear dresses, and they dressed up nice, and they demanded respect. You know, all the guys carried their books for them. We opened the door for them. They really played hard to get when it came to asking them out for a date or anything. And I told my son, when I took him to school, he was a senior, I said, Ryan, everything has changed. These girls come dressed like the guys. They got sweatshirts or T-shirts and blue jeans. There's nothing feminine about them. We had muscle cars. Man, we had SS-396 Camaros. We had, you know, we had all kinds of things, Dodge Chargers. And we souped them all up because gas was 20 cents a gallon. So you guys all drive these little beat-up Toyotas and Corollas and Nissans and little tiny things that, you know, your insurance is $200-$300 a month and your car costs $100. And when I was in high school, my insurance cost me about $95 a year. So, you know, on what we made, $1.50, $2 an hour, we could actually buy a pretty decent car and pay our insurance in maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks salary at the most. So those things have really changed, you know, the car situation, but really the dynamics between male and female at the school and in our entire society has cost everybody dearly. Feminism wasn't feminism. It's an attack on girls really being feminine. It was telling the girls they should all be like men. And it has hurt everybody. It's hurt the men especially, but it's hurt the ladies also. So don't forget that David said, you know, I turned away my eyes, or I learned to turn away my eyes from beholding evil. And that's something you're going to have to do. Now let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 22. What Jeremiah 22 says is that your eyes and your heart are connected. There's a connection between your eyes and your heart. In this case, God is telling Israel that their eyes and their heart both had become bent on covetousness, and therefore they were going to go into slavery or into a position, a time of national punishment. So who'd like to read that for me? Jeremiah 22 and verse 17. Someone on the right side over here? Okay, go ahead.
Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence.
So what we want to get here is just the connection that their eyes and their heart are connected together. And you need to realize that too, that your eyes and your hearts, your emotions and also your soul are connected. My wife has worked people with disabilities for many years, and in all of the, she's had people with every sickness and disease and amputations and mental illness there is. But still, the most serious disability is what? Anyone know? The most difficult disability to deal with is what? Blindness. That's right. People can deal with being deaf. They can deal with being amputees. I mean, mental illness is in a different category because it's, you know, it's come a long way as far as the drugs and the medical science. And there are certain limits to how much they can progress. But as far as the fully functioning mental person goes, you know, the most difficult disability is blindness. They do get around, and there are many adaptations for them today. But you need to think about that in your own life, because if you are here at camp, you've been given some spiritual vision. And you can keep that if you protect your eyes and protect your mind, but you can lose that vision that God has given us if you let your mind be filled with any images that are going to damage, you know, the good part that we've given to you and that God has given to you. So keep in mind that your eyes and your heart are connected, and that if you allow images, these evil things, to be set before your eyes, you're going to be corrupting your heart. That's all there is to it. There's no way around it. You cannot douse with gas and turn the igniter on and say, I'm not going to get burned. You cannot avoid it. If you jump in the water, you're going to get wet. So when your eyes and your heart are connected like they are, you need to learn to shut your eyes or turn them away from things that are evil. And all your friends say, let's go to see this movie, and you know the movie's R-rated, or frankly, PG is about what R used to be 20 years ago. They keep lowering the standards and lowering what's on the movies. I don't get, I've got a fabulous surround sound. Most guys, when they hit 50, you know, they get a Harley or they get a Corvette. I got a surround sound system, so I can blow out the neighborhood with my surround sound. I've got these Athena PSB speakers that are better than a Bose by 60%, and I got a huge Marantz. My wife doesn't like it because I turn it on real loud when I have war movies on. So I watch We Are Soldiers when the helicopters come in, the whole roof shakes, and you know, I've got those things. Yes. Yeah, well, in Tacoma, all the boys, in fact, when we are gone, they know where our hidden key is. And a lot of the young adults just stop at our house and they bring their DVDs and watch them, as long as I tell them, you know, they have to be a certain standard. But, I've got, you know, Patton, We Are Soldiers, and all kinds of good war movies. Flyboys, I love. That's World War One, you know, about the Lafayette Escadrille. Man, when you're in the middle of an awesome surround sound, when all them planes are coming in, there's machines gun coming, you really feel like you're in the plane. Another good one is Master and Commander, when they're going around Cape Horn and they're in that boat. I mean, you hear things all over the place. You actually turn and think something's going to hit you. So, I don't know how we got on that subject. Except, all I can tell you is that, you know, I protect what kind of movies that we watch, what kind of things that we watch. I also watch a lot of wildlife things, such as March of the Penguins, and then the, what's the one about the birds in flight, that French picture, about all the ducks and geese. It's just incredible. Wings of, what is it? Winged Migration. Yeah, that's an incredible show if you can see it. And there's not one photoshopped or manufactured scene in it. It's all entirely real. But at any rate, be really, really careful because these things are going to affect you. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 15. Now, Isaiah chapter 33 is essentially about the coming tribulation and who is going to make it through. Now, I'm not here to tell you that it's going to be 5 years from now, 2 years from now, 25 years from now, or what date it might be. All I can tell you is that the one world governments that we see at least a lot of talk about forming, and with the UN, with the World Bank situation, and the things that our current president is trying to accomplish, it's certainly a lot more plausible that it could happen soon, more than it ever has been. So, let's look at what it says here. Let's begin in verse 14. You can read verse 14 down to verse 16 for me. Okay, go ahead.
The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell well with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell well with everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly. He who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, who shuts his eyes from seeing evil, who will dwell on high. His place of defense will be like a fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, his water will be sure.
Okay, those are great verses. It says, who shall dwell during the coming devouring fire? In other words, who is God going to protect during that time? And the answer is, he walks up righteously and speaks uprightly. And that, of course, means you protect what comes into his eyes and the images that he sees. He who despises the gain of oppression, he doesn't take bribes. He stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, shuts his eyes from seeing evil. It's amazing how many verses we can find that tell you to shut your eyes from seeing evil or turn away or set no evil thing before your eyes. In this case, he adds the ears. Stop your ears from hearing about bloodshed. So even, you know, music where they're playing lyrics that are obviously contrary to God's laws and contrary to the precepts and principles that we should live by, you know, we ought to learn to turn away and just not listen to them. We ought to not say, well, the music is good, I can filter it out. None of us can see a lot of evil and say, well, I can separate the good from the bad because I'm such a good guy or I'm so converted or I'm so brilliant. But no one can do that. It's not what the Bible says to do. It's like the pastor I heard of that made two big batches of brownies. And one of them was made out of brownies mix. The other had brownies mix with about two tablespoons full of dog poop in it. He said, now which one do you guys want to eat? And nobody wanted to eat the one that had dog poop mixed up in it, right? They looked the same. They're both brownies. They smelled the same. They're both part of the cake mix. But they thought, well, if they could separate the good from the bad when they're watching junk, why can't they separate the good from the bad when they're eating junk? And the answer is you can't. It's mixed in with the formula. So we should talk this about, you know, listen to what it says here. Shut your eyes from seeing evil and stop your ears from hearing of bloodshed. Sometimes when there are conversations that are improper, you just have to walk away. You can't make other people stop. You can't go up to them and say, stop, I don't like you saying those things. All you can do is walk away or ignore them. So then he says, of course, he'll dwell on high. His place of defense will be in the fortress of rocks, and bread will be given him, and his water will be sure. So God will provide for you if you do those things. And one of the most important lessons in life is you do what's right and obey God first, and then he blesses you afterwards. It's not that, you know, some people always wait. They say, well, I'll wait till God blesses me, then I'll come to church. Or I'll wait till God blesses me, then I will, you know, do something else. We have a young man in our church area that was in the Navy, and he came to church in Tacoma and wanted to, you know, be a part of the church. He wanted to be baptized, and I told him I couldn't baptize him while he was still in the Navy. First place, he had to work on the boat. He was on the USS Stennis, largest aircraft carrier in the world. He had to work every third week as a fire control officer, so he had to be on the boat the entire Sabbath. And then I explained to him about our position on military service and war. Well, the Navy does not have a policy if you can just go get out now on a conscientious objector. Since it's a volunteer Navy, volunteer military, when you sign up, it's almost impossible. I heard there are some who have done it, but really, he checked into it and there were no court appeals. There was simply no way he could get out of the Navy. So he had to go for 2 more years. But as soon as he did, he got out and he came back to Tacoma about 1st of March. And it took him 3 days to get work. Here we are in a bad economy. Everybody else is unable to get employment. And he got a lot of contract work, and now he's got his own LLC formed, and he's starting his own, working his own business. He's got enough to just keep busy now about 5 days a week. So just a good example of someone who put obeying God first, regardless of the situation. And then, of course, that God blesses you after you do that. Same thing with tithing. God says to tithe, and then he will bless you. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to give you millions of dollars so you'll be able to afford to tithe and it won't hurt you any. You know, that's the sequence there sometimes people miss out on. Okay, let's go over now to James chapter 1:13. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Okay, who can read that for me? 13 and 14. Okay, go ahead, Tyler.
Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
Right, so Satan wants to draw you away. He knows what your desires are, and he wants to entice you with it. That's the way he does. When the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So think of this verse when you're tempted, that you're tempted because Satan the devil is in the world, and we're in society, and temptation is a part of everyday life. But he can't draw you away unless you are enticed, and you can stop the process right there. You can stop yourself from being enticed. You can learn to look away, learn to go away, learn to change the channel or turn it off. Don't allow that message to continually enter your eyes, because that's what Satan wants to do, is to entice you to sin. Now let's go over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 John 2 and verse 16. Okay, go ahead.
But he was rebuked for his iniquity. He dumped donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restraining the man.
Not much light in here. Go ahead.
13.
1 John chapter 2 and verse 16.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Okay, and verse 17.
And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
Okay, so he says everything in the world, which is the lust of the flesh, we see that illustrated for us all the time. Lust of the eyes, the things that we see that Satan wants us to covet. And then the pride of life, the competition between people, one wanting to be better or having more power or more possessions than the other. All of those things are not of God, and they are passing away. It will not be like that in the coming kingdom of God. It says the world is passing away, and the lust of it, the part of it that is wanting you to look at it and stare at it and bring it into your mind, whereas God says, look, turn away, set no evil thing before your eyes, and learn to go somewhere else. So those things are all going to pass away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. OK, Okay, let's finish today over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. Who'd like to read this for me? Appreciate you guys volunteering and doing that. It's been great. Okay, go ahead there, Austin.
If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast in hell.
Okay, so if your right eye offends you, it doesn't really mean pluck it out. Nobody would go dig their own eye out with their fingers. But what does he really mean if your right eye causes you to offend? How does this really apply to us? Any ideas? Sure. Right, if what you're seeing with your eyes causes you to be tempted, if it's an image that you know is going to harm your character because your heart and your eyes are connected, then the thing to do is turn away. You know, close your eyes, turn away, go somewhere else. The same thing that we read in the Psalms in several places. So what I want to do now is just go around the room. We'll start with Mr. BJ and just go around the room and kind of give you a one-sentence summary of what we've talked about today, what it's meant to you and what lesson you can take home with you from this.
Say what you allow to enter into your mind through any of the different portals, be it your eyes, ears, or other sensory methods, does affect your mind for good or for evil, and thus you need to control what gets in.
Okay, great.
So we could say, what we talked about or what we got from this?
Sure, either one.
Okay, since you pretty much just covered what we talked about, I just need to pay closer attention to what I'm letting into my mind.
Okay, good. Okay, Austin?
Yeah, it's just that we're in control of what we see and that we need to regulate it.
That's right. It's a great concept. We are in control. That's a good observation. Appreciate that. Okay, Luke?
The phrase, monkey see, monkey do, comes to mind. Basically, what we see influences our actions.
That's right. That's very, very true. Okay?
What I feel like out of this is that I should be harsher in my censoring what I watch.
Sure. Give one example of that. We'll stop right here, but I'll let you go on. But when I watch football, I watch the Seahawks. Not that they win all that often, but although they are negotiating trying to get Michael Vick. Of course, everybody's kind of has two opinions about that. Vick's a great ball player, but do we want that kind of a guy on our team? I don't think we do. But anyway, the commercials are horrible. The beer commercials and all the bikini stuff and all that. So I've got this, the mute almost isn't good enough anymore. So I've got an alternative channel I can turn to, whether it's news or, somebody hunting deer. So when the commercials come on football, I just have the remote there and I just switch it. So the remote's a great thing to be able to, do what you're supposed to do here as far as filtering what you hear and see. Okay, go ahead.
What I got is that I need to control what I think about a lot more, make sure I don't have any bad thoughts coming into my mind when I'm thinking good.
That's right. You sow a thought, you reap a habit, and you reap a habit, then you reap a character. Go ahead. Okay, very good.
I was going to say, your hearts and minds are connected, and what you see will stick with you, and like you said, some images can burn into your mind, and so you got to make sure you got to stay away from them.
That's right, they become part of what you are. Hey, Tyler?
You guys are, I've got nothing left to say.
Well, it doesn't have to be all that different.
I got out of it, though. I'm just going to have to really control what I see and do more. Because I've been pretty careless in my watch. I mean, other people usually regulate more than I care. I don't mind violent movies that much. So I guess I should probably be strict.
Well, you are responsible to God. You're not going to stand there and point at your mom, point at your dad, point at your brother, point at your friend. I mean, you stand there alone when God judges you. And that's something you have to all come to look in the mirror and realize, God judges me today for what I'm doing. And so that's a very important point. You're certainly reaching the age where you have to come to that conclusion that it's your responsibility. That's a really good point, Tyler. Okay, go ahead.
Along with Tyler said, you're stand by yourself. You get judged by what you do and your decisions. I need to be more strict on what I allow myself to see or watch or hear, the people I need to be around, and movies or material, and just whatever I read.
Okay, good.
Start to filter it more than I have.
Okay. Jeremy?
Just watch what you do and where you go, and if you see a pretty girl, look into her eyes.
That's tough. That's tough. We all know that, don't we? But, you know, do it. That's right. Train yourself to do that. Great.
Yeah, I think I have to be more careful about what I watch and hear. Yeah, I know in the future it's only going to get worse, so you got to, or you know, to have like a good filter now.
That's right. Now, when Jamal's dad comes here, make him smile for you. That guy's got the most million-dollar smile I've ever seen, right? Oh, his dad has got these big sales, but that's a really good point about watching and be filtering. Great. Okay, go ahead.
I think that not alone and everybody else, but you need to watch what you look at and as far as entertainment stuff and that on TV and stuff. And I think, as Jamal said, you need to filter stuff out that you shouldn't be watching and change a channel or whatever you need to do. And also, as Jeremy said, when a girl comes, you know, look into her eyes, not anywhere else. Don't wander off, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, some things you can do. What we've done in our church here is we've tried to get our teenagers to play a lot more games. Rather than always just get pizza and watch a movie. Well, you don't learn anything about anybody. Movies aren't really fun. They don't improve your relationships with somebody. So we've taught them how to play spades and how to play, you know, different card games, and we've got Cranium and some of the others. So you might in your church area, when you get activities together, someone says, let's get a movie, you say, well, why don't we play some games? Why don't we play... There's all kinds of great games, you know, Scrabble, there's yachts, I mean, we could talk all night about it. But just think about learning to play games, even chess or, you know, some group activity games. Charades is a lot of fun. So when someone says, let's just get a movie and watch it, you know, maybe suggest something else. Okay, go ahead.
I need to watch what I both listen to in music and watch on TV, and also my friends, like at school, and sports, things like that. Just got to pay attention to that.
Right, and they'll respect you. If you say, I don't want to hear that kind of language, or they'll know you won't because you don't use it. But most kids today will respect if you set boundaries. They really will. Don't be afraid to. Okay, go ahead.
Sometimes at school, my friends will start talking about something that I don't want to hear. So sometimes I've just stood there, but I need to be careful and maybe just walk away.
Okay, great. Good observation.
You can't filter out the good from the bad when you watch things. All the time, you know. So, you know, you definitely have to be a lot more careful about what you watch because you can't always filter out the good from the bad, whether you think so or not.
Okay, that's important. Okay, last one.
Do whatever it takes to avoid temptation into your mind.
Okay, that's right. Whatever it takes. Looking away, going away, turning it off, whatever it takes. So that's great.
Maybe that's what that verse about plucking your eye out means. Do whatever it takes.
Okay. You guys had some great observations. I'm glad you listened. I hope it's something you'll remember as camp ends tomorrow night or Sunday, and then we all go back to our respective homes, and let's see if we can make some improvements in this area between now and next year, okay? All right, thanks. We'll see you at, I guess I won't see you at skiing. Skiing's pretty much over.
Thank you.